time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday the 10th of February 2018. Island Life is Waiheke Radio's weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues. On Saturday the 10th, John Armistead talked with Catherine Napo about the Save Kennedy Point picnic.
I've got Catherine Napo in the studio, and she is just over to about 11:55 in my direction here, and she's going to tell us about the Save Kennedy Point picnic, which is upcoming. Hello, Catherine.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm sort of exhausted, but pretty good.
You must have been fairly busy with the prep for the picnic.
Since June, we've been busy getting ready for the court case, as well as recently getting ready for the picnic.
Right.
And it has been a really busy time for everyone involved, yeah.
So let's talk about the picnic for the first part. Maybe we can talk about that court case in a bit, because I think it's definitely pertinent to the community. So with regard to the picnic, that seems to have just, all of a sudden, it's happening. It seems to have been organised really quickly.
Well, it has been organised really quickly, and we were really lucky because a couple of people that were sort of young and vibrant onto it with stuff like this came on board and thought maybe it would be a good idea to have this sort of fundraiser.
And so
so all of us have just been putting in whatever we can, and I'm not the sort of person that's expert at this, so I just sort of fumble along in the background. But the community has been really great. They've been offering all sorts of freebies and discounts. And I guess the people organising it, some of them have had experience in, going around New Zealand with bands.
Yeah.
Some of them have been into marketing and PR and know a lot about that sort of stuff. And so we've all just got together and tried to make it happen. I'm expecting that there will be the odd glitch, but I'm hoping it'll be a really great day.
And I guess I've got to ask this question, because as I look out, yep, it's pouring down and the Onatangi Beach Races, yep, has been called off. Is there a wet weather plan?
The wet weather plan is, the picnic is going to be on Saturday the 17th. The wet weather date is Sunday the 18th.
Right.
If that wet weather keeps carrying on the Sunday, then people will not get a refund.
Right.
The bad news. So you have to think of it when you buy a ticket, you're thinking of it as a donation, should both those days be rained out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe you should get together with the radio station later on in the year and do something.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe.
You
know, so, who knows?
Yeah, well, I know they like to put events on, and we've got one of our team who's pretty good at gathering things together. So, who is playing at the picnic?
I guess we've got King Kapisi. He's our main draw card. We've also got a group from Auckland called the Mighty Herbsmen,
yeah,
and they're sort of a group of guys who are from different reggae bands, and they've got together to sort of perform together in an ongoing way. Locally, we've got Radio Rebeldi, who are really popular,
yeah,
Aaron Carpenter and the Revelators and the Solomon Cole Band.
Right.
We're also having a kids' zone, so Tanya Batt's going to tell a story for the kids. There are various clown acts and stuff like that, hair braiding, face painting, and just I think Talking Tree Hill, which is a children's, they do sort of outdoor,
yes,
education for kids on the,
yeah,
island.
Yeah.
They're going to be there helping to organise that whole thing for kids.
Oh, wow. Wow. So it's a pretty full-on...
It's a full-on day, and it's meant to be fun, hopefully really relaxing, and it's going to be at a private bay on Kennedy Point.
Yes.
So a guy called Gary Lewis has let us have it on his farm, and his farm was the... Well, it's only a few acres now, but it was the old Kennedy Point homestead, so it's
right,
very historical.
Right.
I think the current house was built in the 1900s, but it was one of the first settler places on the island in the 1800s. So we're having it there because the bay is really historical for Māori and for Pākehā, and it's also a very ecological bay, and so he had, like, dotterels nesting on his shore and things like that. So he and his family and his neighbours really want to protect the area.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on getting that set up. It just, like I said,
mushroom.
It just seemed to happen all of a sudden. There was a flyer out, and it was like, wow, they've really got a lot on there, you know.
Yeah.
So, and
that is thanks to the people that have come on board. We have a lot of expertise, and a lot of people haven't necessarily got money, but they have skills, and they've,
yeah,
just donated them in a big way. And also local businesses have donated freebies as well as discounts in a big way as well. So we're really lucky.
And you also had the sheep, didn't you? Multi the sheep that was going around.
We still have Multi the sheep, except the weather's too wet for the last few days.
Are you the handler of the sheep?
Yes, that is why I am sporting
that's why I ask.
T-shirt. We are called the Wranglers, and only a Wrangler gets one of these T-shirts, which Sue bought for us, who is Multi's owner. And this T-shirt shows Multi standing on the end of Kennedy Park. And it says, I love Multi the sheep. Yes. So she's got it covered, basically. But she's raised around about $6,670
at
the end of this week.
Wow. When you say she, you mean the sheep?
Multi the sheep. Wow. Yeah. So what they do is, every day since Sue started doing it, and I think it's maybe 6 weeks ago, every day when it's been sunny and when most days she's been able to organise someone to help her, she takes Multi out and they just roam through Oniroa.
Yeah.
And they also go to the market every Saturday. So I think the market is the biggest amount. They get around about $200 to $300 every week at the market. But doing the streets of Oniroa, Sue says a bad day is around about $70 and a really good day is about $230.
Wow, that's really good.
So, you know, because they've been out every day, that's a big mish. And Sue's, you know, a bit older and she's on walking sticks. So for her, that's actually a really, you know, it's difficult.
And this is money that's going to go towards the court case.
Yeah, every cent of that goes towards the court case.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how much are you expecting that you're going to need to raise for that?
Well, the projected figure for a long time was around about $250, which would be what we were hoping to go and be able to have for the hearing. We've spent a lot of that on preparing for the hearing, and we were needing about $100,000, we thought, to go to the hearing. And we're still in that ballpark. We're close. We're between $200 and $250 that we've raised. I can't give you a figure because we had some large donations in the last couple of weeks, and I haven't quite caught up on the total. But we're getting really close, and if people come to the picnic, that will really give us enough money to go into the court case, knowing that we can pay for it.
And what about sort of legal representation? Have you got like a pro bono lawyer or something like that?
No, our lawyer has given us a discount.
Right.
Currently on the island, we've had some really good help from a person who is a lawyer.
Yeah.
And he's just giving us a little help at committee meetings and stuff like that of how to think about things. That's a guy called Sebastian. But our barrister we hired several months ago. And he's given us a discount, but he is not pro bono.
Right.
We've got two landscape people as well as coastal processors and a marine ecologist, and they all need to be paid for. And we also have a planner. So all of those people are just being paid pretty much a going rate.
Right.
With some donation.
And I guess the final thing I'd like to come to is just, you know, there's going to be some people listening who don't know about it or have no position or don't care or whatever. Just outline your opposition to this. Why is this, you know, just outline it.
Tell us. I'll start big. And this is a thought that I've had recently. Okay, so we sort of look out on the sea and we don't see anything on top of it, but the whole of the New Zealand coast is an amazing place and the sea life that's in it is amazing. So I had this thought recently that this is our Serengeti, and instead of the lions and the cheetahs and stuff, we have orca and dolphins, and you know, Waiheke just had a big visit from orca in the last week. But what they eat is fish, and what they eat is, you know, everything is all linked underneath what we see on the surface. And currently, according to the Hauraki Gulf Forum and according to the State of the Gulf Report 2014, you know, the Hauraki Gulf is depleted and it's getting worse and worse all the time. And we actually need to do things to protect it and to maintain its status and to help it to be more healthy. So in the Hauraki Gulf report, they said that marinas are highly contaminating places. So no marina is an innocent party. Marinas all have antifoul on their boats. They put hydrocarbons into the water. They also can put sewage and rubbish into the water. So marinas are, by their nature, they can't avoid being polluting. The Hauraki Gulf Marine Park Act says that no development should happen which is going to make something worse. So they say it either has to stay the same or be improved because of that development. In this case, there is no way that the marina will not pollute those waters. So we're saying it will, according to the Hauraki Gulf Marine Park Act, degrade the waters.
Yeah.
So that's in the sort of a larger sense. In a local sense, that marina is 7.3 hectares, which is large.
Yeah.
So it's the same as about 8 or 9 you know, full-size rugby fields. It's the same as almost 2 10-acre blocks.
Wow.
You know, you start thinking how big that is. That's big. And the area that it's occupying is a deep water harbour at Kennedy Point. And people don't realise, but it doesn't sort of occur to you unless you've lived here for a while. Every single thing that we use on Waiheke comes through Kennedy Point. There is no other freight place on the island. So we have roading coming through there, building materials coming, food, paper, shampoo. Every single thing that we use comes through Kennedy Point. And that was built in the 70s for a population then of 1,800.
Mm.
We're now a population of 8,000 with, you know, millions of tourists coming. And that, basically, Kennedy Point is at its limit, I would say, and operates a little wee bit chaotically at times, especially in terms of traffic. We believe that we need to maintain the harbour space nearby for more future needs for us as a community, for the freight that comes here, and also for passengers, because it's easy to see that Matete is also sort of at capacity as well.
Yeah.
So that's one point. Another point is that penguins live around that area. So there is a penguin colony there. So the penguin colony runs around the council breakwater all the way through to the next door bay where our fundraiser will be, which is the picnic.
Yeah.
And penguins are an at-risk species. So by putting the marina there, we believe that will probably kill some penguins.
Mm.
The reason for that is the marina has a floating pontoon with 72 cars and large buildings. At the closest point, that's only 33 metres from the breakwater. So they're basically really cutting down the space available to the penguins to come and go from that breakwater.
Right.
And when babies are, when the young are fledged, they just hop into the water and have a little swim. But all of that space is being taken away from them, and the clean water that they currently experience is going to be replaced with polluted water from the antifoul from the boats. That's one point. You're introducing 200 more boats to the area, so there's a huge likelihood of more boat strike, and the boat strike is one of the main causes of death for penguins.
200, really? That many?
There are 200 boats, and the boats are between 12, the berth sizes are between 12 and 25 metres.
Mm.
So each boat is basically either bigger than a bus or bigger than two buses.
Wow.
In that range. So it isn't for locals. So when this was advertised, about 26% of the people who went and had a look and thought about it were locals, but all of the rest were, all the other interest was from people that don't live here.
Yeah.
When we lodged our submissions, which was right before Christmas, there were 169 submissions against it, and 80% of those were from locals. Were against it.
Mm.
There were 169 submissions, 80% were against it. I think there were 30 that were for it, and of those 30 that were for it, 10 came from Auckland addresses. So what you can see is, and included the Royal New Zealand Yacht Squadron, New Zealand Marine, and the Kennedy Point Boat Harbour supporters group. So really the incentive for this marina is firstly so that the developer can make some money, and secondly so that people that don't live here can have their boats on Waiheke. So it's not a local it's not a local benefit, and in fact the tourism and recreation expert from the Matete Marina hearing said that marinas don't suit our brand. They're not what people come to Waiheke to see. They come here to see beautiful clean beaches and go to vineyards and to just hang out and enjoy open space, and marinas don't provide that. They just, instead of coming into Putiki Bay right now where you see a sort of rural nautical type place, you're going to see a really big urban marina. So I can go on about this stuff for hours, but I just want to talk about another main point.
Yeah.
And the other main point is that Putiki Bay is an incredibly historical bay for Maori people.
Yeah.
So in the 14th century, The Te Aro Mai Moka in the Great Migration.
Yeah.
It came into that bay, and where the quarry is now, it tied up and its crew relashed the waka there.
Right.
Subsequently, in the Onitangi Sports Park, we have that great big pa site there,
yes,
which is a big hill. That became a site of Te Arawa occupation. So right from the beginning of that migration, and there may have been people before, but from that migration, that became the main pa site on Waiheke,
right,
and has continued to be so archaeologically until today. And there are 71, or seven, more than 70 sites, which are archaeological sites, in Putiki Bay. And one of those is Middens on the Shore at Kennedy Point. On the other side of Kennedy Point, there is also a pa site, and just above where the ferry comes in, there is a site which was a kāinga or a village site. So if you look out, also if you look out into the bay, there are some islands just off Kennedy Point, and two of those islands had pa sites. The end of Te Whau had pa sites. So going from Te Whau all the way along and around the bay, there are archaeological sites. We say it's a highly significant place for Māori. It's very historical, culturally important. And you're sticking a 7.3 hectare urban, sort of European marina there, and we don't agree with that.
And quite elitist.
It is
really
elitist,
in the sense that.
But it's elitist in the sense that only fairly wealthy people can afford to buy there. But it's also elitist in that currently that bay is used by people to row. It's the main fishing spot on land on Waiheke for parents to take their kids to learn to fish, for other people to just fish and have a good time. It has a quiet bay. The locals all use that beach for swimming. There's kayaking, paddleboarding, etc. Maitetia used to be a place where you could jump off the wharf and go fishing. We're not allowed to anymore, but we're still allowed to at Kennedy Point. And my kids went to school on the island and they learnt to swim and had swimming lessons there. That's where the high school used to take the kids. Right. So it's actually a place which is used by locals. It's not really a tourism spot, but it's a local spot. And having said that, I have a stall at the market, tourists that I talk to about it, who've come through Kennedy Point. And the ones that we talk to in Onirawa, they don't think it's a good idea to have the marina there. They say, why would you do that?
Yeah. Well, just before... that's all good. So one other thing is just, I guess, how much the tickets cost and where can people buy them from?
Okay, so you can get the tickets from Shop the Rock in Onirawa. You can get them from the Ostend Market. And you can get them online through the SKP website, which is www.skp.org.nz. They're also selling through Under the Radar,
right,
which you would go online to do as well. But I think it's easiest for people to remember the SKP website.
Cool.
Yeah. And they're $49 for adults, $10 for children, 5 to 15. Under 5s are free. And we also have these cabanas, which are VIB cabanas, which are very important bestie cabanas. And if you wanted to, you could pay $1,500 and you would get the full treatment with up to 8 people.
Right. Well, thanks for coming down, Catherine. And,
thank you.
And good luck with the event. Probably see you there.
Yeah.
And I'll play.
Hope to see you there.
Yeah. I hope to see you too. Okay. I'm sure
I've got
probably lots of people there as well. Yeah. So.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
I try to do it every month. I get things sent to me by listeners telling me who they've seen, and there's been a few more celebrity spots on the island this month, and you'd be surprised to know who's still on the island after last month, and that's the Dalai Lama, in all of his, his finery. He was seen getting into an argument about the ownership of a pink plastic bucket in an event that happened just outside the countdown about 3 weeks ago now, I believe. Thanks to Ida for sending that in. The Dalai Lama arguing, because last time, you remember, he was complaining about the lack of vinegar at the Tsingtao chip shop in Ostend. So not happy, never happy. You know, he preaches peace and love, but in actual fact, he complains about Well, vinegar and plastic buckets. We have seen, as we've had a sighting, these are all, actually I thought I'd group these ones together because they all involve New Zealand celebrities drinking alcohol, because obviously a lot of people come over to the island to do that with our fantastic wine industry. So JJ Feeney from The Edge, formerly of The Edge, actually JJ Harvey, as she is now known, although I would think she's probably going to go back to Feeney soon, since she's no longer with the Harvey that she was with. She got wasted on a wine tour. Not sure the person who sent that in might, may or may not work for the wine tour company, because that's an anonymous tip. Nigel Latta, the child psychologist and television personality, he got rat-assed in the RSA. And Kerry Woodham got hammered on a bottle of Plonk outside the Countdown. To a lot going on at the Countdown. The Foo Fighters were here at Stony Ridge about it was a week ago when it I think it was Friday last week. They had a show at the Mount Smart Stadium, and so kind. What a lovely bunch of lads. They came and helped Bessie Worrell of Onaroa. She needed to have her wall painted grey, and they went round and helped her paint her wall grey, which is a fantastic approximation for what they do with music. So good on them to the Foo Fighters. Still painting. I remember my colleague, he said to me, I was talking about the Foo Fighters with my colleague the day, and he said, oh, I don't know, they've got a couple of good songs. And I said, well, how long have they been going? He said, 20 years. I said, well, you'd think they'd have more than a couple of good songs after 20 years. Yeah, the Foo Fighters, one of the best drummers in the world. Unfortunately, he's the singer now.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onaroa.